Please be seated. So I want everybody to try something for a second that might be difficult for you, but I want you to try to imagine that you're sitting in church. So you're sitting here in church. We have dutifully come to worship. We have gotten our bulletin. We have found our normal seats, because let's be honest, all y'all who come to Holy Comforter tend to sit in the exact same seats every Sunday. It's fine. Guests are welcome still. So we're sitting here and we're preparing ourselves for worship. And I want us to imagine that someone sort of famous walks in. Someone who's from Atlanta, someone we all sort of know, but someone sort of famous. The only person I could think of, to be honest, that we would all know was Tyler Perry, right? We all know who Tyler Perry is, the guy who did the Madea movies.
Yeah.
I like Tyler Perry.
Who doesn't? So let's imagine that Tyler Perry walks into church, because he's from Atlanta, he's from this neighborhood, he grew up around here. Tyler Perry walks into church and he goes and he sits down. And then let's imagine that for some reason we decide Tyler Perry needs to read one of the scriptures. I don't know why we decide to do that, but sure, let's let Tyler Perry read one of the scriptures. So we have the regular lector sit down. Tyler Perry comes up and reads the scriptures. I hand him our lectionary for the day. He opens up the lectionary, not to what is chosen for the day, not to what we're supposed to read, but he opens up the book and opens to Isaiah and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Closes that lectionary book, hands it back to me, and he goes and sits down. Now I obviously am standing there like some sort of guppy with my mouth open thinking, so I'm supposed to preach on that now or something? Like, am I supposed to like change my whole sermon? Because I did it on the lectionary. What's happening? So he goes and he sits down, and before I start talking, before I start doing, he turns around and says to everybody, "Y'all, today that scripture that I just read is being fulfilled in me." That's what Tyler Perry does at Holy Comforter, some random Sunday that you're imagining now in your head. Now I want you to imagine your reaction. Now I know this is Holy Comforter and stuff like this sort of happens here, so it's not like, you know, that odd, but this is still church, and we still have lectors, we still have acolytes, we still do all the things that churches do. So, but imagine how you would react in that moment to Tyler Perry doing something like that. You'd probably turn to the person sitting next to you and be like, "What is up with Tyler Perry?" I'm not actually asking. So let's imagine, I want you just to imagine what you would think if Tyler Perry did something like that. You'd probably whisper about him and be like, "What is wrong with him? Have those Madea movies gone to his head? What has happened?" It's a strange and odd moment for you here in this church. But I want you to think about it a little more, because that's exactly what Jesus did in his home synagogue. Because Jesus was a local boy who was famous. People knew who he was. He had been teaching in the synagogues. It wasn't his first rodeo here. He had done a bunch of miracles. He had already healed a bunch of people. He turned water into wine. And so he had walked on water. He had fed a bunch of people already. So people knew exactly who he was. And they were like, "Wait a second, isn't that Mary's boy? Didn't he grow up down the street?" And he did. And people knew exactly who he was. And he had gone to services, as one dutifully does when one goes home and hangs out with one parent. You go to their church, even if you disagree with everything that their church says. You go to their church because that's what you do. Because you're good and you're nice. So Jesus had gone to their religious services, and then he gets up and does this. Can you imagine being his parents? Can you imagine being his siblings? You'd be like, "Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, what are you thinking?" And I didn't swear there. That's literally what they would have said, because his name was Jesus. "Oh, Jesus, what were you thinking?" Get it? Never mind. Okay. But his reputation had preceded him. People knew who he was. People knew what he was doing. He had done this stuff before. And people knew that he was a little bit weird, that he was a little bit off. But that he had to do something to get people out of their regular routines. And this is what it took. This is what he needed to do in his hometown. He was making an effort to break through the hardened hearts and the closed ears of all the people so that they could hear the good news. I mean, for a second, think about yourself. Think about the cycles that you get into. I mean, you could get into a cycle over and over and over again, and they can be different cycles. You can get into a rage cycle. I mean, has anyone watched the news? You can just sort of descend into a rage cycle and be mad all the time. Or you can be trapped in a shame or doubt or indecision cycle where everything is going wrong and nothing can be right and you can't do anything right and everything is terrible. Or you can get into a control cycle where if you do the same thing over and over and over again, things will be fine and we will figure it out. But everything keeps going wrong and we can trap ourselves into being exactly who we are over and over again as if that's going to fix it. As if being the same thing over and over, doing the same thing, even though it keeps going wrong, is somehow going to fix everything. I mean, that's the definition of insanity, isn't it? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And so Jesus walks into this synagogue and breaks everyone out of their cycle. He does something that I think might be embarrassing to get us out of our own heads. I mean, for anyone who's ever spent more than 5 minutes around a child, you know that they tend to listen to the same thing over and over again. For example, I have a children's song stuck in my head that I will have in my head until I'm dead. And it's particularly annoying and it plays over and over again because I listen to it 100 times a day in my own home. I'm not going to tell you what it is because you're welcome, so it won't get in your head. And when you think you've finally gotten rid of that song, you've finally gotten rid of that narrative that you tell yourself over and over again, and that out of nowhere, boom, it comes back. Out of nowhere, you're sitting there thinking, I'm feeling pretty good. Things aren't so bad. And then that story you tell yourself comes back up that says, you're not good enough. You're not enough. You're not doing enough. You're not taking care of enough people. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not whatever. You're not Christian enough. You're not something enough. And that narrative just keeps cycling over and over and over again, and you just cannot hear the good news out in the world. That's when Jesus stands up in our lives and says to us, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he does this thing that I would think is embarrassing, but he does it to shake us up. He is doing something to shake us out of our complacency, to shake us out of the cycles that we get into. And he is here to remind us, you guys, Jesus is out here. Jesus is in our hearts. Jesus is in our lives. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He has been anointed to bring good news to the poor. He has been sent to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of the sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free. And that's good news for each of us because each of us have been poor, and that is good news for the poor. And each of us have been captive to something, and it is good news for the captives. And each of us who can't see salvation in our lives for whatever reason, for each of us who are captive to something that holds us enslaved, every single one of us has been oppressed, has been a captive, has been poor in some way. And Jesus is here standing up in the middle of us saying, I have come to set you free. I have come to set you free. Every single one of us. No matter where we came from, no matter what we do, no matter how our brains or our bodies work, Jesus has come to set us free. To remind us that we are loved and that we are free from the cycles that enslave us. He has been sent to give good news to the poor, to set the captive free, and to let the oppressed be free. He has come to set us free, and that's good news. Amen. Amen.